Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you from Sandusky, Ohio for Codemash 2017. I love catching up with some awesome community people. We are here in the game room that Improving Sponsor is a really good company. You should look them up. Jeremy Miller, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
So for those that don't know you, why don't you introduce yourself?
So I'm Jeremy Miller. I used to blog at Code Better and be an MVP years ago. I'm the author of Structure Map, a testing tool called Storyteller, and the tool we're going to talk about today called Martin.
Martin.
Yes.
Why did you call it Martin? Was it just like your uncle's name or something?
you're going to get me in trouble.
I hope so.
We built this purposely to be a replacement for RavenDB in our shop. And I got challenged on the name real early on. Mm-hmm. So I quickly Googled for what are the natural predators of ravens. And that's how we got the little Martin guy.
Interesting. So what does Martin do? For those that are interested in like, hey, you know, why would I do this? What problems does it solve? How would you sort of describe, sort of in a nutshell, here's the reason for Martin?
Okay. So Martin does two different things. Martin provides a client library to access the PostgreSQL database. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we take advantage of the JSONB features inside of Postgres, and we allow you to use it as a document database, and also very closely related event store if you want to use event sourcing in your applications.
I see.
We found it to be really advantageous to do our persistence with a document database, and we wanted to go down that path.
So effectively, if I were to look at your, so effectively you're taking Postgres, which is a relational database.
Yes.
You're using one of the data types, and so all your tables, I'm guessing, are like one field.
It's not quite that bad, but Okay. Yes, the data, the document itself is just, your .NET object is just serialized to JSON and put in a data field and a little bit of metadata table.
Right.
And even occasionally to duplicate fields for faster searching.
Got it. Okay, so effectively, you're making Postgres into a document database.
Yes.
And your library sort of enables that. What does it do beyond, like, because I could seriously just write a bunch of tables with one field that's a JSON.
What does
it do that sort of, like, oh, wow, I really need this?
Well, first of all, it adds a link provider.
Okay.
Because you can't be a serious .NET persistence tool without that.
Right.
The link provider, it provides some strategies for you to apply indexes within the documents to make your searches a lot faster. We do transformations as well, enable you to use just plain Jane JavaScript functions to give a transform. And if you're building like a web application where a lot of times you're getting data from the database, transforming it and immediately popping it down to the browser,
Okay. You
can just grab the JSON. Even if it's transformed, you can skip the serialization, deserialization stuff and be much closer to the metal.
I see. So it's like the gap in between what a document database really does that Postgres will not do right now.
Exactly.
I see. And so, because right now I imagine that there's tons of queries that you can make in Postgres that will literally just pull that record out. But then if you want to dive into what that record is, which is a document, and do some indices on that, and do some, that's where Martin lives.
Yes.
Okay. So what does it look like to use Martin? Because usually when you're using like document databases, you're literally just saying, here, make a new collection called people, and then you just start shoving stuff in there.
Okay.
What does it look like when you're using Martin?
Well, we ready to go to
the code? Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.
So let's say Martin can certainly handle things more complicated than this. But
sure.
Let's say you have a very simple person document.
Mm-hmm.
So what I need to do, and miss this one. Just. We need an ID for the identifier. So I need to.
So we're going to go unit test route to show this stuff working.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is cool because I like being able to run these things, right?
Yeah. So I need to pop up, at the simplest, I need to pop up a new document store object. This would be a singleton in your system. And you could conceivably do a lot of configuration, but the only thing we care about just to get started is connection string.
Come on.
1 second.
You guys are like watching the Jeremy Miller coach stuff right now. This is this is a treat for you and me because I've used Structure Map since the beginning of time when that stuff wasn't even sexy, man. I'm just trying to tell you.
It still isn't.
Like when I used it the first time, well, you'll get to the code. First time I used Structure Map, I'm like, this is not sexy, but it's really helpful.
It has been in some systems.
And I wondered like the kind of code that you had to write to make it work the way it did. And I feel like you had to take some showers a couple of times after you wrote that code.
You do some things that you would not do in your normal job. You get heavy into reflection, low levels of the
showers.
Framework. Yes.
All right, so what do we got? What did you add?
Okay, so first of all, let's have something to store. Don't worry about the ID, that's not right. Okay. And
age, use your fake age, 96. Nice. No, oh, that's your real age. Okay.
Okay. So first thing I need to do is I need to create a new document store, and this is the simplest syntax for this. There's oodles more stuff you can do, all documented. But for right now, we can get by with all the defaults. Mm-hmm. So when I pop, I need to be able to commit a unit of work or to query, I need to create a session.
Sure.
So in an application, this would be per HTTP context or service. So we're just going to tell the session, hey, when you're saved, I want you to store this. And save it like that.
So here is where I'm going to ask you like 1,000 questions because like I'm a relational database kind of guy.
Sure.
Like, does this thing like create a table to put persons in?
Okay. So yes, it does behind the scenes.
Okay.
So behind the scenes, if I'm working in the default mode here is what we call the auto create all mode.
Right.
The development mode. It's the let me get stuff done mode.
Okay.
So when it encounters a new document type it doesn't know and it finds that there's no table for it, it creates it for you to match that and all the indices and everything you need, and it just works.
That sounds like code that you again need to take a shower for. You must be taking a lot of showers, Jeremy.
I know a lot more about Postgres internal tables now.
There's some people in Oklahoma that might love you, you know.
Okay, so if I want to come back and now prove that person really did get saved in the database, I'll pop a different session up just to try to prove we're not sharing the unit of work. And let's just verify that it's me. Stop that.
What unit test framework is that?
Since it's using Shoodly.
Oh, Shoodly, got it.
Yeah, I like it. Makes tests read a lot better.
Sure.
So let's run this, and you may have to take my word for it because it's got tiny text. It's coming.
Tiny text. We might, in post-production, we might zoom in so that people can see your tiny text. It looks like it went past. It passed. Yep.
And that's it. You're up. You are ready to, as long as you have Postgres already installed, and a database and a connection string to it. We're looking down the road to try to make it faster for people to get started because Postgres is kind of strange to .NET people.
Yeah.
So we found there's some prior art. Somebody has a package that allows you to install Postgres through a NuGet package.
Oh, interesting.
So we're going to try to come up with something that lets you grab a NuGet package and just go. So you don't have to know anything about Postgres to kick the tires on Martin.
Well, that's nice. Okay, so now that we've done that, obviously there's going to be a number of other things that now you're going to want to do a la document database. What are those things and how does Martin help with those?
Okay, so one of the, it's involved. One of the things you may want to do is, I want to pull down an issue document. And that issue document may be referred to a separate user argument, who is assigned to it. So one of the things Martin will allow you to do is say, in one round trip to the database, I want to go grab this issue I'm trying to find and give me all the related users that are assigned to these things all at one time, so you're making fewer round trips.
And that's interesting, right? Because that's not something you would be able to do traditionally in a document database. You'd have to get two collections.
Well, some of them do it that way. Beyond that, we can do batch queries. So between your application server and the database, cut down that kind of chattiness. A big feature we have that we really like is called compiled queries.
Oh, I see.
Allowing you to embed a link query directly in a small class with properties for what the parameters are, and use that like a query object against our document session here. And when you do that, it enables Martin to remember what the SQL was and how it's handled from the link expression. So you don't have to take that huge hit of parsing and tearing apart the link expression every time.
Oh, I see. It's like you're making the expression into a lambda kind of, and now it's going to be running faster. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. What are some other features that you think you should totally look at this if you're doing document database, but with SQL kind of back?
Sure. Well, and I should point out, you've still got all of SQL.
Yeah.
You can still, at the same time, even in the same transactions. So Postgres can run JavaScript inside of the browser, or inside of the database engine.
Interesting.
So one of the things we've been able to do is use JavaScript for either doing patches, when you need to do partial updates to a document and you don't want to bring the whole thing down, or if you want to do some kind of transformation. So you probably have a big complicated domain object, and on a given web page or API, you're delivering a chunk of it and maybe in a different format.
Uh-huh.
So we'll allow you to just take a JavaScript function that can transform the real document JSON into what you want, and you can use that as part of your link query in Martin and get exactly that representation. And you can also get it as just a string, so you can write it straight down to your HTTP response without going through the serialization, deserialization.
So if I'm understanding right, you were able to embed JavaScript into your, did I get this right?
Yes. So you're actually able to run JavaScript. It effectively wraps a JavaScript stored procedure around it, but that's effectively what it does.
So you're able to code up something you want the database to do, but run on the server side, so to speak. Okay.
Now, I don't know you want to do a lot of that,
right?
But it probably still justified when you don't have to do the deserialization trick.
Awesome. So tell us about sort of the usage. How has it been going? Are there some pitfalls if people start to use it to be like, hey, watch out for this speed bump? What do you have to say about that?
Sure. Well, so we had to learn a lot about how to use Postgres and how to support it. I would strongly recommend you just go with a hosted solution and not dwell on it too much. The link support's not perfectly there. Mm-hmm. The link support's really monotonous to get right. So a lot of group by summation, a lot of really advanced link fixtures aren't always there.
Uh-huh.
Performance is doing okay so far. The place where we're getting pushed the hardest, a lot of people are using it for the event store.
Uh-huh.
And that's not quite as mature, so that's getting pushed and beaten up a little more.
So let's talk about sort of the event store paradigm. Is this a little bit different? And you said that Martin has some features that sort of assist with that.
Yes. Well, so you can build a simple event store on any database. Read Greg Young's big paper about it.
The core, is that CORS? CQRS, sorry.
CQRS. He has a paper out there that's years old, but it basically tells you exactly how to do it, and that's great. But as you're capturing events, the storage is easy, but now how do I take the string of issue received, issue solved, person assigned, how do I turn that into the state of the system, the read side of things? So Martin allows you, we support something we call projections. The ability to say, well, for these kinds of events and streams, as events are collected in, I am going to update a view projected document that my application is going to use on the read side that represents, this is the current system of state of the world, even though the events are the master source.
Mm-hmm. And so is that something that Martin does, or is it something that sort of you just do because?
No, this is part of Martin.
Okay.
So the place where we deviate from a lot of other event stores is the projections here can be done what we call inline. So the projections can be created completely in the same transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So you're never out of sync and you're ACID all the way down. You can do them on demand, like if you have places where you have lots of writes but very few reads, or you can run it asynchronously in a background process and let it continuously monitor the event store and update the projections as it can.
Interesting. And so, I mean, I've read the CQRS stuff. I've never, like, I'm the kind of dev that I feel like I don't know something until I have something in production in that, you know? And so, I mean, some of that might be over my head, but those that are watching, Martin sort of enables CQRS in a special way, and you're doing some more optimization.
Well, it enables the persistence. Specifically, it enables event sourcing within CQRS.
Got it. Okay. Awesome. Anything else? Do you have a website or something people can go to get started?
Sure. And here, I'll just type it right in if that's okay.
Sure.
So, believe it or not, we are actually pretty well documented. Here, do you think I can get away with the swipe?
Yeah. Absolutely.
They are not. Good Lord. Okay, I'm just writing a code. Okay.
Maybe you should like back. There you go.
And believe it or not, we're actually pretty well documented.
Yeah, and that's hard to find. And I mean, I do open source stuff, but documentation is like the last thing people do. So
I've got beaten up so much over the years for structure map that I wrote my own static site generator to get docs and try to take it seriously.
Well, there you go. Well, Jeremy, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Thanks so much for watching. We've been learning all about Martin. We're here in Sandusky, Ohio for CodeMash 2017. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We'll see you next time. Take care.